Summer hasn't officially started yet, but Hollywood summer movie season is well underway. And apart from a few major hits, many of the film industry's biggest releases have failed to connect with audiences at the U.S. box office. So far, moviegoers have said no thanks to Godzilla King of the Monsters, the latest X-Men movie, Dark Phoenix.
You might want to think about changing the name to X-Women.
Men in Black International.
Look around! We got our asses kicked!
And Shaft.
A man that would risk his neck for his brother, man. Can you dig it?
And while Hollywood is unlikely to abandon its dependence on sequels, remakes, and reboots anytime soon, this string of disappointments could have the major studios rethinking their release strategies in the years ahead. Aw, yeah. Here with me now in the studio to discuss are Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday and The Takeaway. Rafer, welcome to the show as always.
Hi, Tanzina.
And Allison Wilmore, culture critic and culture writer for BuzzFeed News. Thanks for coming back on, Allison.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So, guys, first, let's start. What is a flop? I mean, what is the timeline for a flop? Summer hasn't started. We're already talking about flops. Allison.
Well, you know, the timeline's a lot tighter than it used to be. You've got to have a big opening weekend now. Otherwise, you're kind of getting crowded out of theaters before you even get going. You know, you're doing these big openings of thousands of screens, but at the same time, there's like a new blockbuster or potential blockbuster coming out every week. So that opening weekend is really, it can make or break a film.
Rafer, you've seen all the movies we mentioned at the top. Are audiences right by staying away? Because some of these, honestly, I'm like, wait, that came out?
That's a bad sign, Tanzina. That's a bad sign for the studios.
I mean, but then again, I know. It's the timeline. Too short.
Right. Well, to answer your question, yeah, I think they are right. This is one of those instances, I think, where, you know, audiences can have a bit of a divining rod for these things, and they can kind of, they can sense a bomb, you know, before they've seen it. You know, I think Godzilla, King of the Monsters, you know, so Godzilla's got Mothra and Ghidorah. Who cares? No, you know, some people I think like Godzilla, but who cares about the other Godzilla pantheon? I think it's kind of a small number of people. Shaft, same thing, you know. The last Shaft was 20 years ago in 2000. You know, how exciting is that?
Was it?
I think audiences kind of, they know this stuff. They sense these things.
Is it a sense that films, kind of picking off your point, Allison, that films have to be an event in order to succeed? Like, because the Avengers have done really well. A lot of that series franchise have done really well. And these other films don't seem like events.
I think you absolutely have to. You have to get people to, like, put down the Netflix and, you know, put down their phone and come out to a theater. And I think that it's increasingly difficult to figure out a way to do that. And at the same time, you also have studios clearly kind of building these movies around, like, property they own and, like, a release date and then making the movie last, you know? There are all these reports from these movies of, like, people hiring their own dialogue coaches to write, to fix the script as they're shooting. Like, there really hasn't been a sense that people have even known, the studios have known what they want from these movies.
So, Rafer, Men in Black International, I honestly thought that would do well, given the franchise, given who's starring in it, Tessa Thompson, Chris Hemsworth. Why is it not connecting?
You know, that's a good question. And I think I'm one of the few critics that, you know, I sort of took a deep breath and went ahead and said that I actually liked that movie.
Oh boy.
I sort of enjoyed it. I thought that was perfectly acceptable kind of popcorn, junky summer entertainment. I was actually taken aback when critics turned on it so viciously, and audiences as well. I think one of the main reasons that film hasn't done that well, and one reason I think a lot of these films haven't done that well, is that they don't have any real stars. I feel like we are in just, I don't mean this.
Don't tell Tessa Thompson that.
I love Tessa Thompson, but let's be honest. Who is Tessa Thompson? If you were to parachute into the middle of the country, you know, any town USA, unless you've got someone who is super plugged into popular culture, that person doesn't know who Tessa Thompson is. My father, who I always say is a great representative moviegoer, sees at least a movie a week. No idea who Tessa Thompson was. You know, Chris Hemsworth, we know him from Thor, but not much else. Godzilla, Kyle Chandler, that is not a movie star. You know, you can kind of go down the list with these things. I think we're in a bit of a star power valley at the moment. Just at this one particular moment, a lot of stars have gone to television. Tom Cruise, you know, just did the last Mission Impossible. We won't see another one of those for a while. we're just kind of in a dearth right now where there are no big A-list, you know, Hollywood power players to pull people to the box office.
What do you think about that, Allison? Do you need that for a movie like Men in Black?
I think that when you look at something like the Marvel franchise, they built their own stars. But I do think also the age of the person, the star who could get people out to see whatever they star in, I think that's passing. You know, people want, like, brands and franchises are stars now. And I think that, you know, you have, like, Will Smith, who starred in the Men in Black movies and is, like, considered one of the last people who could, and not always, open a movie at a movie theater. The Rock, you know, you have a few other people who seem to have a big following, and even they are not infallible. The kind of age in which people really would be like, I'll see anything that person's in, I think that's going away.
Wow, that's interesting.
They're older stars that we think of when we think, you know, George Clooney and Julia Roberts. Those are older stars.
And you mentioned Tom Cruise. Mission Impossible. Yeah. So if it's not those folks, that's interesting that might be. What about international box office? I mean, does that have anything to do with this? Do studios care if they do not well in the United States, but really well in, say, you know, France?
Yeah. Oh, I totally blame the international box office for a lot of the troubles that I think we're seeing with these movies.
For keeping these films in?
Yes, okay. Because I think one, as Allison was saying earlier, there's this idea that if you're going to get people, you know, out of their house and away from Netflix, you got to have this big giant event movie. And you can see a movie like Godzilla is really trying, right? They're really pushing this as this giant, giant monster movie with every monster in the whole Godzillaverse is going to be there. And I think the other problem is that as bad as these films are, they always do pretty well internationally, especially in China, I've noticed. And I think they like these kind of big, loud, flashy, sort of nonsensical action films with some American stars in them. They kind of dig it. I think there's still a sense of novelty to it over there. Whereas over here, I think the novelty is kind of wearing off.
Allison, Disney has also had a lot of success with its live-action remakes, like Aladdin and The Jungle Book. We're expecting The Lion King to come out next month. Is that going to be, can we predict anything at this point about that?
I think that The Lion King will do well. It's, you know, a movie that's really near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. You have Beyonce doing some of the, you know, the voice cast
is
incredible.
Well, that changes everything. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think that it will do well. But at the same time, even Disney, you know, with these live-action remakes, is leaning really hard on nostalgia and the familiar. And Dumbo didn't do as well, you know, like Aladdin did pretty well, but they're not as reliable as they used to be, and they're coming faster and faster. I think you can see a world in which audiences get exhausted.
That's interesting. Rafer, Toy Story 4, which you've already had a chance to see, comes out this Friday. How's that franchise going to be doing, you think?
I think that's going to do very well. I've always loved the Toy Story movies. I think they've all been pretty much at or very near masterpieces. This one's no exception. I'll just tell you, you know, I was bawling my eyes out, and the opening credits had barely ended. It was incredible. You got to hand it to Pixar. They always know what they're doing. And I love Toy Story 4.
So we said the summer movie season is in full swing. We've got about a minute left. Are there any films that either one of you are looking forward to coming up?
Well, I've already seen it, but The Farewell by Lulu Wang is an amazing movie starring Awkwafina. It's not a blockbuster, but it is a great movie about kind of being Asian American, being an immigrant. It's funny and it's sad. Everyone should go see it.
Rafer, your pick?
Box office-wise, I think things will pick up with stuff like Hobbs and Shaw. You know, I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with Brad Pitt and DiCaprio could work.
Big stars.
Personally, I'm looking forward to Midsommar by Ari Aster, the horror film, his follow-up to Hereditary, which I loved. Again, probably not a blockbuster, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Rafer Guzman is film critic for Newsday and here with us at The Takeaway, and Allison Wilmore is critic and culture writer for BuzzFeed News. Thanks to you both, as always.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for listening. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.